You're listening to Short Track America.
Buzzy back up as well real quick. And David, get you back up on stage real fast. Let's hear it for Amelia Rudiman. Well, David, we've had a little bit of fun here, but we haven't really had any fun at your expense yet. And you knew that had to be coming, so we're going to open the floor up with Buzzy and kind of talk a little bit about how you got your start and maybe some stories along the way. Buzzy?
Talking about stories, we start getting racers talking, you'll talk all night about stories, I'm telling you. But they wanted me to say a little bit of something about the 00, but I've already said that. And they wanted me to bring up a few things about David. Wow. I could start, you know. We started with a little mini stop down here. We built out here in back a little Pontiac. We had a Sunburn. David, we work on that thing on Sunday afternoons and put a little cage in it and work on this and that. So we was getting pretty close to getting it done. We were wiring it up. And, okay, David, we've worked long enough for today. Time to go to the house. So, of course, he went across to see Roland Shirley Ziegler. We called him the farmer and his wife. They was down for a trip there. And of course, that's where David grew up, on a dairy farm up there in New Jersey. I couldn't think of a better place to raise a kid as on a dairy farm. Ronald and Shirley were his second parents, and Lord of mercy, his mother cleaned up enough cow manure off of him. No wonder he's a lot taller than I am now. But that little mini stock we had, I knew there was one wire we had to hook up, and he had went across the street there, so I hooked that wire up, backed that little mini stock, took it out here in the field, started spinning around. Boy, you should have seen him come across the street then. He would have come and licking his split. But the time for me, the kids grew up around here. You know, all my boys turned out good. David, Sean, Brian Patty, and Wayne Jr., and Lord of mercy, all the kids that he'd bring out here after school. I think Brian was going to grow up to be an accountant. And I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the line, they drug him out here to work on that mini stock. And I think his dad come out here one day and said, "Brian's not studying hard enough. You better not let him come out here anymore." But I didn't run him off, so I think he's glad I didn't run him off. And you know, another thing, you read in the paper every now and then where, oh, Brian and David and them, they grew up in their father's shop, you know, sweeping the floor and stuff like that. They ain't ever slept the floor at all. The old man had to clean up after them dang kids. Like his mother, for instance. Boy, I tell you, I don't know how many times I got chewed out. They're out here in the field with these mini, these go-karts running around out here, and she has the laundry hung out here on the clothesline. Boy, did I get chewed out because they got covered up with dust and she'd have to wash it again. Boy, I'll tell you what, I got in more trouble about that. it's all come together. It's sort of rough for me to say sometimes. When the older you get, the more sentimental you get, I guess. But you can say it's like a big puzzle, you got to put all a bunch of pieces together to get a puzzle out of the deal. You got so many people. So many of y'all have helped us get where we're at, or where David's at here. I told him, I said, "Hey, you're going to be racing on Sunday afternoons. Normally I mow the lawn on Sunday afternoons. What am I going to do now? I got to be able to watch the TV or watch him on TV or being at the races." I said, "You better make a lot of money. We're going to have to hire a yard man down here." Yeah, talking about a yard man, he bought me a John Deere lawnmower for my Father's Day, and he said, "The only deal is I got to mow his yard out here for the rest of my life to pay for the darn thing." it's been great. Like I say, the people that helped us through all this thing, we got... Oh, man, there's just too many to mention. We got Raymond Cheshire's here. He gave David his first all-pro ride. I think Jimmy Brinkley just left a minute ago. He just gave us a car one time to run. And, of course, we got Michael Wakeley here. I think he made a mistake. He walked on the track one time and asked the guy, says, "Who needs a little help around here?" And he said, "Well, that guy down there with that car there, he needs some tires. I think Mike bought him a set of tires." Boy, I think that was about 1,000 sets of tires later. Mike said, "Oh, that's about enough." But it's been great. All of y'all have helped. You know, the fans, and there's so many of them. David's father-in-law, we used to
work on that darn all-pro car. Pretty soon we got David's a strange driver. He gets out there and we get the car set up and he keeps wanting to go a little faster and go a little faster. So Dave and I, we finally figured out he go out there and we put the watch on him fast enough. We bring it in, jack it up, make like we were working on it, and send him up in the trailer to sit down so we wouldn't get it messed up too bad. So I'll tell you what, it's a deal there where in my lifetime I don't think I would trade 1 minute for what I have done here, and it's just something that I want to thank all of y'all for making this so wonderful, because y'all made it all worthwhile. So let me give this back to the here.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I could just sit here and listen to those stories all night. That's good stuff there. He mentioned Michael Wakely, and we want to bring Michael up here. Michael owned the all-pro car, the Pennzoil number 00, that really kind of helped launch David's career and caught Joe Nemechek's eye and got him that first Busch ride. So, Michael, take it away.
This bald head doesn't work with these lights very well. Before I get started, I'd like you to just, David, have y'all seen David's shoes? Have you ever seen him in anything besides tennis shoes? Will you look at these shoes?
I got one here.
Anyway, like I said, I'm Mike Winkley. I own David's all-pro team from 98 to 2003. And Lisa called me last week and said, Mike, will you come down and say a few words and help roast David? And then I talked to Jennifer, who I've never met, and Jennifer said, can you say something funny about David? And, I said, sure, most of my friends I know something funny about. So I spent the first couple of days thinking, what kind of things are funny that we had with David? What kind of times were funny? Kind of funny stories? Maybe a funny situation? Didn't come up with much. So I called a couple of my friends that knew David really well. They didn't have much. I called some other drivers that knew David. I mean, surely they would know something funny about David. None of them had anything. I talked to my wife. I said, did I ever tell you any funny stories about David that, you could relay back to me? And she didn't have anything either. So I kind of came to the conclusion that, David's really not a funny guy. There's just not really that much funny about David. Now, Buzzy, where's Buzzy at? Buzzy is different. And I sure hope this young lady's not here tonight, but a story y'all probably don't know about Buzzy is, I don't know if any of you have ever been to the restroom in the race out there, but Buzzy was dating this young lady one time, and she hand-painted the toilet Pennzoil yellow and red. Now, that was funny, Buzzy. That was funny. Still looking for a funny story on David. Don't have one. Another time, and again, this was Buzzy. We were at Greenville Pickens Raceway, and I think we were racing Freddie Query. You remember when he was so dominant for so long? And Freddie's son was his crew chief. What's his name? Alex. Alex is about 6'4", about 280. And Buzzy's, 5', 100 pounds? Well, Freddie hit David from behind and kind of scooted him out of the way. And Buzzy, in his infinite wisdom, took a handful of lug nuts and hummed him at this 6'4", 250-pound guy. Now, that's funny. Yeah. Of course, I've never seen David do anything like that. So I couldn't come up with anything funny, so I kind of hit on a few peculiar traits of David that some of you may know about and some of you may not. As a team with David, we raced in 99, 2000, 2001, had some success. But we really took off in the 2002 season, if you remember, David. And just really, really were running good. Right before that season, in the wintertime, Dave Van Curen was helping us out then. Dave, were you? Buzzy. And worked really hard. Jersey worked really hard during the winter, getting the cars ready to go. And, put a lot of hard work on them. And then we went to South Boston that first race. David got the pole, led every lap, and won the race. Remember that, David? That was an awesome time there. And then he went on to win three more races that year and had several second places. And we should have won the series, except we blew the motor in the last race of the season. Now you're thinking that probably that Buzzy and David and Van Curen, you know, during wintertime came up with something that was really good. And I'm here to tell you that's not right. That's not right. That's not what happened. What happened was Mike DeTerre, who works for me in Savannah and worked on the race team, we figured out what was wrong. And what was happening is David's nose is so big that it pushed up into his helmet, and he couldn't see in the turns. He just could not see when he was going in there. So what we did, come on up here, Mike. What? Mike DeCare came up with a helmet that would allow him to see through the corners. Bring that helmet up here, Mike. Michael, you might want to get one of those for, you know, for next year.
That's hilarious.
Another peculiar thing you might know about David is some of you that have known him for a long time was that during those years we were racing together, David made an attempt to grow facial hair above his lip. Mike, have you got that picture?
No.
You might not want your daughter up here for this. I want y'all to look at this picture. This is a picture of 2 years worth of growth by David's lip. Most of you probably have 14-year-olds that have more hair above their lip than this. Being the fatherly car owner that I was, I pulled David aside. I said, David, you know, if you're going to grow facial hair, you're going to have to grow some hair. I realize you're probably looking at a bald head, wondering what's going on here. And I said, David, you're going to be a masculine race car driver. You can't look like a waiter in a French restaurant. So I bought him a tube of Marvo's mustache cream. Is anyone familiar with that product? I told David, I said, David, take a little of this, put a little above your lip here, and, you know, it'll grow it out. So, you know, and any of you that know David know that he'll listen to anything you say, but, you know, if he's going to do what you say, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Anyway, we had a race a couple of weeks later. I got to the track, and, you know, I'm looking for David, and I finally found him, and he looked like this. That was the Grizzly Adams Jr. look. Unfortunately, my Pennzoil rep was there, and he wasn't happy with David's new look. So I pulled David aside. I said, David, you know, the Marvo's mustache cream was for above your lip, not your whole face. So 2 weeks later, we went to another track, and I couldn't wait to see David's new look. I walked in the pit area, and what did I see? Mike, let's see that picture. This was a handlebar mustache race. One more time, I put him aside. I said, David, the handlebars got to go, bud. This is just not working. I said, if you just trim it, you know, it would look really good. I mean, it would be just, you know, I can't remember the golfer's name though. He looks like there. I don't know if you remember his name, but he looks like the golf analysis there. Anyway, so the next race, I said, David, trim it back. You know, let's go over there. So then this is what we got.
Yeah, bull.
At this point, I had enough. I said, David, no more mustache, no hair above the lip. You know, and of course, David, you know, not wanting to lose his ride, showed up to the last race without any hair above his lip. Show him what he looked like, Mike. Does that look like Martin Truex a little?
That's cool. Too bad I can't grow it.
Oh, seriously, David, we hope you do well next year. We're very proud of you. I really hope you do well because I got a bunch of race cars and trailers with Pennzoil and your name on them. And if you do really well, I'm going to put them on eBay, so they might be worth something. That's all I got, but I would like to bring a couple of people up here. In 2002 was really our breakthrough year, and I think that went a long way, David, to further your career. And there were some guys that really helped out a lot during that time frame, either before or after. But we really had a great year then, and I think that kind of catapulted the attention of David. And I'd like those guys to come forward, to come up on the stage, if you don't mind, David. Dave Van Curen, Dave, Lisa's father, did a great job for us. Billy. Billy, if you're still here. Andy, Donnie, Mike DeCare, Mike, Ken White, helped out. Cody, Jersey, Frank Fulco helped out. Come on up, Frank. And then we put up with Buzzy. With Billy and Andy. Yeah, but if you look for the guys that really helped David get where he is today, these guys are the ones that really put in their time, and they didn't get the salary, so have a round of applause for them. Jersey's always last. All right, that's all I got. Thank you very much.
I got to see these pictures. I was in the back. Well, that's a good look for you.
Oh, they're nice, some pictures, huh? They really got
that's,
it.
That's awesome. Next person I want to bring up, he actually gets to talk to David quite a bit, probably more than any of us do, because he gets to spot for David nearly every weekend. So I want to bring up Sean Rudiman.
Really nervous about this. Never done this before. Wakely took my helmet idea. I was going to tell David the Bell helmet, one design, one just for him. But I do have my halls, David, by the way. I got my halls. I got to have these when I stop for David so I don't get nervous. I chew on these during the race. So they want me to tell you a story about our trip to New York when we were teenagers. We went up there with this idea that we're going to have this immaculate modified to drive, and it was going to be the best thing, you know, since sliced bread. But we get up there, and I think we run two or three races, motor blows. We find out the guy don't have no money. So here we are. Heck, I think Dave was still early 20s, if that. I was a teenager, still in school. Mom and Dad let me go off for the whole summer with Dave and Uncle Buzz. Well, next thing I know, I'm flagging on Friday nights to make $30 so me and Dave can eat, and we're picking up trash the next morning for a living at the racetrack. The guy would give us 50% of the cans, and that's what he'd give us. And the bad thing was, this guy's son owned the modified, but he wouldn't put no money into it, and he owned the racetrack. So I'm sitting there one day, and we're picking up trash, and David sits down, which was normal, and I'm doing all the work. And he's got his hand on his chin, and he's like, "What are we doing?" I said, "Well, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm picking up trash." And he's like, no, we got to figure out a different way to do this, because this ain't getting it. I'm going to go home, I'm going to race for a month, and we'll make some money, and then we'll come back and go again. I said, "Okay, well, what am I supposed to do for this month?" "Well, I'm going to give you $100 and my dually. And you got to find somewhere to stay." So I lived with five different people I'd never met in my life. And I was going from house to house at 16 years old with $100 cash that he left me and a dually that took $150 worth of fuel. So he finally comes back and we race. Nothing ever went anywhere out of that deal. And we're coming home. And I can remember this plain as day, as we had David's old dually, the trailer load down, and it wasn't funny at the time, but it is now. And it's me, Lisa, and David in the front seat. That's it. It's loaded down. We have a bag of apples in the back of the truck, in the back seat there, and that's what we've been eating for the last 20 hours coming from New York. We get to Darlington, South Carolina. I remember Lisa saying, "Well, let's just stop at Burger King," which is no lie. She wants to stop at Burger King and get something to eat. And I was all about it because I was tired of eating apples. And David's like looking through his wallet. "I don't have no money." "What do you mean you ain't got no money?" "We need fuel. We're on empty." "Oh." And David's like, "Seriously, I don't have the credit card. Dad took the credit card with him back when he flew home the other day." So here we are in Darlington, South Carolina, on empty. And no money. Well, we start getting pennies out, me and Lisa, and we're starting to cry. 1, 2, "Oh, I just want to go home." And David calls Aunt Linda, his mom, and she says, "Well, I don't know if you have any money in your account. You might be able to get some money." And somehow, right in the middle of Darlington, wasn't a good area. No offense, Michael, where you're at, buddy. But that's my white brother over there. But no offense, and We stopped in downtown Darlington, and I'm sure DW has been through there a time or two just trying to pass through, get out of there. But he was able to get $50. And this is no lie. We put the gas in the truck, and we ran out the top of this hill right here. And we coasted. We never stopped at the stop sign. We just kept getting it because we knew we weren't going to make it. When we pulled in this yard, I got out, and I was just loving the grass. Thank you, Lord. We're home. You know, I just wanted to get out of that deal. But they wanted to say some stuff about David, funny stuff. I was trying to get Brian up here with me because, you know, me and Brian, we grew up together. I invited Brian out here to Uncle Buzzy's one day. Thought he'd never come, but look what he turned out to be. So I'm gonna get me a little percentage of that deal because I brought him out here. I can remember when we used to race. I know Ivan and Lloyd and John Rankin are out here. David probably has more enemies because of me and Brian. He probably never figured out why these people didn't like him. But me and Brian, we were underage. So, you know, we'd roll in there with a teenage driver and two new teenage kids, and we won 42 races in 1 year. You know, and they couldn't figure out how us kids were winning. Well, when David's out there racing, they'd be running into David and stuff, and they come down the back row, and me and Brian were out there telling them how number one they were, but y'all can take it from there. And what we thought of them, heck, we were 12 years old, 11, we didn't care at the time, you know. And they, to this day, I keep thinking, you know, one day I'm going to walk into East Bay down there, and somebody's just going to knock me out because all the stuff that me and Brian used to do. But I don't really know what to say here about David. Because I was trying to think, and I was telling my wife, you know, I was like, well, I don't know what to say about David, because they said, you know, talk about him a little bit. I said, well, David ain't never done nothing. I said, there ain't nothing to talk about, you know. Wakely kind of hit that right on the nail. There's nothing to talk about David. David's not very athletic. And I was telling Jennifer and Brooke today, David better, he's lucky he made it as a race car driver, because I remember one time playing basketball there in high school, and I think he fell and broke his arm or did something to his leg. Or, you know, he's not very athletic. So this is his only out right here is racing. I'm sorry about that. Don't be mad at me. I have to put up with him every weekend, so I can't get him too mad at me. And I want to go back to that. This is my second year spotting for David. I really enjoy it. He didn't listen to me the other day, or we would have finished third or fourth. Because Daryl preaches, bottom line, the yellow line is your friend. And I reminded him that 100 times before the race started. And on the last lap, going to turn one, I said, the yellow line is your friend. Well, like DW said, he got off the bottom, and look what happened. And three wide, exactly. About crashed the whole field. But my second race with them was California last year. I do want to point out, your rookie year, me and Bobby Kennedy were talking about this the other day, because Bobby really wanted to say some things. He says he has a list of bills. You owe Daryl for at least 5 trucks his rookie year, at least pain and suffering for the crew from the time away from their family. Hospital bill in Texas, that's pretty big. He owes them for that. Well, we might get Lester to pay for that one, right? But the second race out, I said, you know, the guys asked me, they said, David don't show no emotion. I said, really? So we'll take care of that. So we get up in the spotter stand during practice, and I start just jawing at David, telling him this is what he, you know, hey, this guy's driving like this. And he said, why don't you just shut up and let me drive the blank, blankety, blank. So the crew, Chief Jason, come over, and he said, did our driver just cuss? And the crew's like, you know, David said, you're blankety, blank right, I did. And they all cheered for him, because that was the first emotion they'd ever seen out of David. So they were all proud of me, because I got him mad. So I do want to point out that we have not tore any trucks up since I spotted. I want y'all to know that. Wakely says he's a better spotter, but we've had one crash, and that was Terry Earnhardt's fault at IRP this year. It wasn't my fault. And we have not tore any trucks up. But, right, exactly. Yeah, I might jinx myself. Daryl will be paying me a visit up there in the spotter stand, and he's done that before. And I learned a lot from him. I want you to know that. You can't beat experience. I've learned a lot from Daryl in the spotting stand. I've learned a lot from Ty this past weekend at Talladega. You know, Ty really helped me out under cautions. He would let me know things that were going on, and I thought that was pretty cool. I was going to tell you to say something now. I was going somewhere with that. The most nervous I've ever been in my life is at Dover, Delaware last year. And DW laughed. If you've never had a talk from DW, you don't want it. First thing, I get to the racetrack, and Bobby says, DW wants to see you and David. Don't talk to me, talk to David. He's the one driving this thing. But I've never seen David so nervous in my life. He had tears in his eyes. I was thinking, this is not good. But I got out of that. And I didn't have to worry about that. No, you didn't. I hid off to the side. I'm good at that, hiding. I'll start the trouble and then leave. But no, like Wakely said, there's a lot of people here that have really helped David along. And, Brian, of course, he's done a lot. And remember a lot of fun years, me, David, and Brian growing up and racing. We had a lot of fun, that was neat rolling the racetrack, three kids, Nobody thought we had a chance. We'd go out there and win every week, Except for Ivan, and every once in a while he'd outrun us. But we were over here the other day, and me and Uncle Buzz were trying to figure out. Buzz like, we need to invite some drivers that we raced with that we got along with. I said, well, Buzz, there ain't none. Nobody likes us. And they still don't, They're all jealous, I guess. I don't know what it is. But I would like to thank Raymond Cheshire, Buzz was saying, and Mike Wakely, and Ken White. You guys have done a lot. Jim Brinkley Jr., like Buzz said, he gave us a car. We didn't have nothing. We had a dually and a trailer, and he gave us an all-pro car to go race. Tate Pierce helped us. Billy Culver, Cody, none of these guys. I brought all these guys with me, friends from school and stuff, and they volunteered their time. Jim Robinson, all these guys went, and they didn't get paid a dime, and they went every weekend and busted their tail and for nothing, just to help David to where he's at. And I think them guys deserve a round of applause because they did a heck of a job. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I just want to say, where'd Mikey go? He done bailed out. I just hope next year I still get the spot. David says I am. I don't know if he has that choice. But I hope I do. And we appreciate y'all's support. And just keep rooting for us. Because I tell you what, David had a lot of fans there at the racetrack. You would be surprised. I know that comes a lot from Daryl Michael, but it's pretty neat when I'm standing in Talladega and I look down and I can see David Ruderman's shirts through the grandstands. I think that's pretty cool. From where we grew up right here, which Uncle Buzz had to raise me to, I'd get kicked out of school. Dad wouldn't tell Mom. He'd just say, go to Uncle Buzz and act like you're just working or something. Don't tell your mother you got kicked out. But I want to, thank you guys, for coming. I have to thank my wife. I try to do that real quick. My wife and my children from letting me go every week. Everybody thinks I don't have a wife. I have a wife and three kids, and they let me go every weekend to the racetrack. I appreciate that. But thank you for coming. We enjoyed this. Thank you. Okay. I get the pleasure of introducing my younger brother, the next. By the way, Daryl, I want you to know we have a whole line of Rudiments. There's probably seven boys in line, and they start from my son, age five, and up from there. We even have some girls. I think they get sponsors easier. But I get to bring up my little brother, who's done a lot, and I'm proud of him, Wayne Rudiman Jr.
Who cares?
I'm a shy Rudiman. I'm trying to come out of my shell. So you guys work with me. I may stumble a little bit, but I'll get it. Just want to let everybody know that's not from here, Michael Darrell. The porta potty doesn't stay there all the time. That's on a rent deal. It'll leave tomorrow. So, we are in the woods, but not that far. Where are you going? Come back over here, buddy. Come back over here. Made a couple little notes. I'm not sure where Michael's at, but hey, man, I'm Wayne Jr. If the steel don't work out, just give me a call. I'm not sure where you're at. Real easy to get a hold of. Just, like I said, it's not a problem at all. Darrell, anything, I'm a short guy, but whatever. We can work together. No problem. Anybody else notice the trend of, hey, nobody got paid? Dude's cheap. Dude still has his first check from Darrell. So, that's just kind of, I didn't know if anybody else seen it, but I seen the trend. I was kind of putting it together, realizing that, hey, maybe old Beak's cheap. But anyhow, I got a couple stories. Just a couple easy ones here. Remember being a kid, being at East Bay. Let's start different here. My mom always told me, hey, you need to get a good job. You need to be, somebody. And I said, I want to be like David. I want to be like Beak. She's like, what are you talking about? Well, Mom, Beak had one real job. It was at Uncle Buzz's. And any time you can go to a job and get there at 10, go to lunch at 11:30, and leave at 2:30,
That's the job I want. He's the man. You know? Anybody that can pull a job off like that is something I want to do. So she said, son, not everybody can do that. So I said, all right, I guess I'll be a race car driver. But she didn't really have good advice on that either. But anyhow, we'll start off with East Bay. David, little David, as they call him, some of them do. He's been baby his whole life, but that's a whole other deal. We don't have time for that. Keep walking away from me. Come back over here, sport. We're at East Bay. I'm probably 8, 9 years old or so. Everybody's cheated once, right? Just once, math test, anything like that. Big race, 50 laps. David wins. Ivan knows he's cheating too, by the way. They put the old P&G machine there on there, and old Buzz tells Dave, fired up. What are you talking about fired up? Dave, you mean, you look at him. He looks honest, don't he? Look at him. I mean, you know, other than the big nose, he still looks honest. So he reaches in there and he flips the switch on, and next thing he fires that baby up in the middle of the P&G. It shot that little ball so high in the air, you couldn't find it. It was like, I don't know where it went. It'd probably come down the next day. Needless to say, they couldn't check him anymore because it tore the machine up. So little David gets some money. Little David, by the way, anybody call him that, he likes it. Sean, the reason if shirts were in Talladega, they had a giveaway. So they just had a few sizes, a giveaway deal there. They, you know.
Hey, DW was getting 50% off that day.
Right. He was. It was last year's shirt. Right. They had to get rid of him.
Hey, the man was a little premature at Atlanta the first year, because then David starts tearing stuff up, you know.
Yeah, to give him a big hit. He said, I'm the man, watch this. You know, it's never good from there. But anyhow, the second story I have, all right. I raced a mini stock when I was 15. David, Ivan, all those guys, they used to think it was great to push old Poop down the back straightaway. I'm Poop, by the way, also. Pushing down the back straightaway because we used to have to pack the track backwards every week. They'd roll out there and you'd pack the track backwards. You know, they'd get behind me and they'd push me down the straightaway. I thought it was great. Well, we're right around there packing a track in Ocala Speedway's in Zuber, Florida. I'm not sure if anybody knows Zuber. You probably wouldn't know where Zuber, Florida was, but we seen these two little kids. I was behind David riding around, and there's these two little kids on the fence, and they're just, they seem as if, what's wrong? You want me to stop? Okay, you want me to stop? I don't know. No? Keep going? All right, he's on, go ahead. But riding behind him, hey, look at this, he's got some fans up there. Well, maybe not. Little guys, they were confused on what finger was number one. I thought, hey, look, fans. It wasn't the number one finger they were putting out there. So I was like, well, this is not good. Well, my cousin, little David, he takes off to the inside of the racetrack. And this is a dirt track, by the way. This is actually mud. I'm like, where's he going? What's he doing? Well, little David decides he's going to drive down here and turn his late model back at the wall. And once again, you have two little guys, little Junior and his little buddy, telling him he's number one. Wrong finger. He takes off up the racetrack, gets about to him, and stands on the gas wide open and spins the car sideways. I have never seen little kids run and get peppered with mud that bad in my life.
David!
I said, good Lord, that was the funniest thing. I had to pull off. I was done. I said, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Little David lost his cool. Needless to say, when we come back around, Mom was confused on which finger was number one. Thankfully, he didn't pepper her also. He'd come off the racetrack. But, so, I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, there's a couple flaws. Don't dig too deep. You don't know what you're going to find. And if anybody needs to know anything else, give me a holler. I'll let you know what's going on. Because I do know a few things. But, needless to say, it's amazing. It's awesome. That car looks wonderful. We're incredibly proud of you. Going to be rooting you on every week. Thank you.
Stop now.
Think we should quit? Y'all want us to quit? Or
no!
These are your fans. These are your people.
I'll tell you what. Everybody that's come up here tonight's mentioned one particular person, and that's Brian Patty. So I want to bring Brian up right now. Where's Brian? There we go. Brian Patty, everyone. Can't follow up Sean and stuff. I'm not the spokesman he was. I just worked on cars and liked what I did.
made decent living. Yeah. Still do.
Yeah.
Pookie got him from out here.
We won't go there, Pookie. But no, there's a lot of stories, a lot of funny, a lot of serious, and I'm just glad to be a friend of his and the whole family. You know, they meant a lot to me, or still do, obviously. Help me get where I'm at, and I'm not gonna say any funny stuff. I think it'll make a long ways. You know, glad that I was here to see it, and we're family friends forever. So thanks.
How much did you pay him? You must not owe him money. They pay good over at Ganassi, don't they? You didn't even want to jump in on that. All right, finally, we mentioned earlier this is just a tremendous time for Michael Waltrip Racing. But if it wasn't for one person giving his blessing and letting this happen, we wouldn't be able to do that, and that's Darrell Waltrip. So I want to bring up Darrell now.
Yeah, buddy. The thing that I told you earlier about, I told Michael, he said, once you go down with Grown House, David driving, you know, the Bush car and the Cup car. And I said, and I'm supposed to be happy about this, but because I love David and because he's done such a great job for us. But you guys, y'all nailed it. He is cheap. Now, that's one thing I know about him. I don't know everything that y'all know about him, but he is cheap. Let me tell you. I had a golf cart in the shop. It's a nice golf cart. It had chrome wheels. It's practically brand new. And he comes walking in one day. DW, I'm got to go to Texas. And I need a golf cart. Can I borrow yours? Oh, I'll buy it. I thought, yeah, I bet you will. So I said, take the golf cart. I don't need it. It was the second half of the year. I wasn't using it. I said, take the golf cart. This is 2 years ago. I said, take the golf cart, use it, and bring it back. Just treat it like it's yours. Well, he treated it like it's his, all right. He still got it. So the poor boy didn't have a place to live. Now, you're some folks out here already told me about it. He bummed out around here everywhere in the neighborhood, I think, moving from one house to the other, and not paying any rent. And if it wasn't for Lisa and Amelia, I mean, I don't know that I'd have done this. I got a house there in Charlotte. He was having a little problem. He's living in a motorhome. He's living in his motorhome over at Tom Johnson's. He, I don't know. How can you do that to your beautiful wife and your lovely daughter and your little dog? And y'all are all living in a motorhome at Tom Johnson's. I got a little house. I said, just go on over there, dude, and live over there, you know, until you get your affairs straightened out. And so they stayed over, what, 3 or 4 months? Maybe a little longer. Did he offer to pay me? Not one penny. I'm out. I'm the best PR guy he's got. I'm out telling everybody what a great guy he is. I'm telling Michael what a great driver he is. And it took a little time. It took a little time to get him here. Sean knows this. And Sean, you're better than Brian as far as spotters go. That's as far as I'm going to go. You're definitely better than Brian. And Brian knows what I'm talking about, too. Where'd he go? He was spotting for David the first time he run Daytona. That was quite a treat. He and Brian on the radio. Oh, y'all, we're going to win, all right. Go the outside. Every time he'd go to the outside, he'd fall back about 20 spots. He said, hey, dude. I've never heard so many dudes in my life. Hey, dude, this ain't working. Yeah, got that right. But I'm really sort of embarrassed, and I didn't want to bring up. I was hoping no one would bring up about the nickname, because Michael said something about a nickname, and I said, but he's already got a nickname. And it came so close to messing up the Burger King deal. They had, you know, the king. They got the head, the thing. And it wouldn't go over David's nose. And they didn't know what they were going to do. So I really appreciate the guys. You know, this may be something we can, we'll just add a little bit of a little bubble on the front of the old king's head there, and I think the deal's going to work out okay. But I am, I feel I'm embarrassed every time. I told my wife, she says, talking to him on the phone, and I said, so tell me about your nickname. And my wife doesn't hear the conversation. And he tells me, well, you know, Brian, those guys, they all call me Beak. And I said, Beak? And my wife just hears me say Beak. Well, she gets so upset with me. She said, why are you calling him that? You don't even, I hardly even knew him. I said, honey, it's his nickname. Who gave it to him? Who did give it to you? Brian gave it to you, right? And you don't, you know, that's what I like about you. You don't, it doesn't bother you, does it?
No.
I think he's lying about that. I think he's not happy about that. Anyhow, we've had a lot of fun, and he's a good guy, as you all know. It's fun for y'all to all be here tonight, and just let him get roasted up a little bit, and look forward to next year. And I think Michael's going to come up here, and we're going to end the evening. But this is a great, great opportunity for David, and he took advantage of it with the truck. What's the three most famous words I've ever told you?
Don't beat yourself.
Don't beat yourself.
Right. Thank you, Sean.
Quit clicking the radio.
Not boogity, boogity, boogity. That meeting in Dover that he was talking about.
I was paying attention.
Yeah. When I said I want to see the spotter and the driver in the truck. The driver did come, and the spotter was afraid to come, but I told David that then, and he still has it. He keeps it on his dash, and I want to make some more for your cup and bush car. Don't beat yourself. And from that day on, Sean, we've only torn up one truck. So, David, don't beat yourself. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Look at this cake, bud.
We're not going to dump it on him, are we? I don't know. That sounds like a kind of good idea.
You don't want to get his nose. Wait a minute.
Wow. And we'll be serving this cake here as soon as we wrap up in a little bit. David, I need you to hang out here still, because we have one more special guest that I want to bring up. And we mentioned when we came here, wow, this is Zephyr Hills. We've never been here. This is awesome. These are all the fine folks, all your family, all your friends. But it wouldn't be complete if we didn't bring up the man that's in charge of Zephyr Hills. And at this point in time, I want to bring up the mayor of Zephyr Hills, Mr. Cliff McDuffie.
Shouldn't have to worry about that. I'm not that tall. Well, I can't see a soul out there, so I don't know who's here. Just got here a few minutes ago. Well, 45 minutes ago. It was a city council, Dave, and I didn't know this was a roast. I'd have brought a spit or a barbecue pad or something.
I didn't know either.
Okay, probably just as well. But we did bring up the subject of racing on Main Street. You can't do that anymore. You got to hang it up. Downtown, anyway. Out here, maybe. Okay. I go back with Rudiman's, back when Buzz was racing. That's how old I am, or maybe how old he is, not necessarily me. And I can relate to the beat thing. I've been that way all my life.
Stand up.
Thank you. As you get older, it shrinks along with you. But I was here for a particular reason, and that was to do something that I couldn't really figure out how I was going to do. And now I know I can't figure out how to do it, because I was supposed to give you a key to the city. But with all this stuff I've been hearing, it's supposed to go to dignitaries. And I don't know if you fall in that category or not. But I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I have for you a key to the city of Zephyr Hills. And usually this is reserved for people who are coming in this afternoon. You're not coming here. You've been here all this time. So I'm looking at you anyway and tell you this. I hope that this opens the door to many, many wins on the track. And congratulations to you.
Thank you very much, Mayor McDuffie. Wow. All right, Beak. I just had to do
this
it.
Rolls off the tongue.
I actually call him Blue. That's the nickname I gave him. He went to run a dirt race, and he had this fire suit, and it was blank. It was just blue. And I said, "You're a big time NASCAR star. You gotta wear something with, you know, logos all over it, Toyota something." He's like, "But that's my dirt suit." And so from that point on, he's just become Blue to me. But yeah, it is. Well, I have to work on that. That's kind of my job. So just thanks for all you coming tonight. It means a lot. And David, why don't you give him some final words?
What a night, huh? You know, and a lot of people say this. My dad said it. Sean Wayne Jr. You guys know, he guys know, so when Wayne Jr. talks about when he was eight, he's still the same height that he was when he was eight. You know, he hasn't grown anymore. But I'm sorry. I feel bad about that. I really do. But,
no, I don't.
But I look around here and I see a lot of people that did a lot of things for me, whether it was Ron Mims at Ron's welding my radiator up that I knocked out the night before because I couldn't afford a new one and not charging me for it, or Robert Fulco building me motors, and I'm quite sure I still owe Robert Fulco money. And I hope he doesn't want to square up here today. Mike Wakely, who gave me a shot to keep going all pro racing, and all the volunteer guys. I mean, you know, everybody that I paid by the cheeseburger, and most of the time I wouldn't let you get the cheese because it was 25 cents extra a lot of times. You know, you guys believing in me is what has got me to this point, because there's people, Ken White and people like that, who whenever I was down and out and had absolutely no money, I mean, you ask Lisa, no money, okay? The whole reason her father came to help me, because she knew, and he knew, that we was fixing to move in with them. He said, "I got to do something, or I'm, you know, they're fixing to move back in." So, I mean, people like that just kept digging and kept me in. I mean, I always loved the sport, and I never gave up. But my dad would never allow me to give up, or my wife, or anybody, because a lot of people believed in me even when I was destroying stuff. DW, you guys know about that. I didn't always tear my own stuff up as much as I tore up Daryl's stuff for some reason. But I just got to thank all you guys, everybody that's helped me, and everybody that's ever helped me. I know, you know, Butch Bryant and people that I always could go to, and they never turned me down at any given time, even when they didn't have the money. If they didn't have the money, they gave me their time and their effort, and they rode with me in the pickup trucks those late nights and early mornings, and when I was thinking that this was all it was ever going to be, was just, you know, just trying to get by, and just trying to get by. And I don't mind telling you, I like the situation I'm in a whole lot better now than I did back then. But I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. My father, Buzzy Rudiman, who I don't know that he and I have ever thrown each other a football or played baseball, but we've been together a lot. We've raced all over the United States. We've been broke together. We've been in victory lane together. You know, he's made a lot of sacrifices for me to be where I am. And I owe him the world. My mother, who never wanted me to be a race car driver, but always supported me no matter what. You know, I'd say, "Mom, I'm fixing to bounce a check because I wrote a check and I didn't have the money to buy tires, and she'd always cover for me, or guys, you know, guys I race against. This guy here named Ivan Lloyd, you guys have heard him talk about. He was probably my fiercest rival at a lot of dirt tracks. We raced that. It outran me probably more times than I outran him. But Daryl, Michael, you stay away from him. I don't want you guys talking to him tonight. But guys like that who made me better because they raced me hard. You know, just there's so many people, and I know I'm leaving people out. And if I am, I apologize because I love each and every one of you, and I appreciate what you've done for me. And next year is a big unknown, you know. New deal, new driver, new manufacturer. But if you guys see what Michael is building up there, I hope y'all will come see it because it's pretty special. And I'm seeing guys in the fab shop that I've seen in other guys, you know, big name teams. I'm like, how do they get them? You know, or I know they'd never get this guy. And sure enough, he's hanging a body on a car or whatever. I mean, these guys are hiring some of the best talent that you can possibly buy. And that's not an easy task. So, again, everybody, family, my Uncle Wayne, who did my cylinder heads for nothing when I couldn't afford anything, you know, everybody that kept me racing, because if it wasn't for y'all, I couldn't have made it to the next race, and that's all I thought about was making it to the next race. And I'm still like that, you know. Still need to make it to the next race. So, again, thank everybody for coming. It's unbelievable how many people have come out here. I'm blown away by it. I never expected this. You guys did an incredible job. Jennifer Chappell, who does my PR, she gets me way more exposure than I ever have deserved to get. We're looking at everybody who put this deal together. Michael, DW, thank you guys very much for giving the opportunity to be here tonight, helping me come home and see everybody, because Z Hills is home, you know. But thank you guys.
I was fortunate enough to be at Nashville when David won the truck race last year, and I was there to give him his guitar and celebrate his first win with him. And buddy, I want to be there to celebrate your first cup win in next year. So, good
job. Zephyr Hills, Florida, one of your own. Thanks for coming out.
You're listening to Short Track America.